Well, that is a fun fact on Otto Camp. How about that?
Isn't that wild?
That is pretty crazy. Baseball lends itself to some wacky facts.
Well, did you hear, have you heard yet? It's like circulating how the Johnny Bench play happened in 71. It's completely different. Manny Moto's on third.
Well,
Manny Moto,
that's a whole nother.
Manny Moto on third. He goes to steal home.
Okay.
Bench jumps out too quickly.
Sure.
Runner out at home. Catcher interference. Even though the guy never swung, he was out too quickly. So a completely different situation.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
It does, yeah.
So Manny Moto was the guy that they kept signing for to be in decades, right? Wasn't he that
guy?
Yeah,
that's Manny Moto, yeah. And,
that's Manny Minosa.
Manny Minosa.
So, John, the commissioner's office finally blocked it. So there was this Manny Minosa, and he appeared in all these decades, like really old. They'd pop him in for one game.
He was like four
years. Like, I think it was at least five. And there was one point, and I want to say it was like 30 years ago when the commission, it was like, you know, like a 99 or an 89 or like a 91, like a 90. Like it was either the end of a decade or the start of a decade. A team would try to sign this guy and like, let's play him for a game. And I think the commissioner's office is finally like, all right, no more.
You know, like, too cutesy.
You know?
Yeah.
So one thing on my book, let me just put this disclaimer out there with my book called The Best of Philly Sports. I do feel bad because, you know, I really, I agonized over what to put in, what not to put in.
Let me tell you, as someone who throughout the process, we knew it was happening, you agonized.
That was brutal.
Like, you had so many times where you were really struggling with decisions.
Yeah, here's a category of players that I feel bad about, and I just want to put this out there before anyone even reads this book. Is there some players who are like really great, but they only get like a sentence or two in the book because the team didn't win anything. Like, I'll give you an example. Mark Recchi was a great Flyers player. He didn't win, like, in the first iteration of Recchi, they didn't win anything. They trade him, you know, obviously, you know, in the early 90s or mid 90s, Desjardins and LeClaire. Like, so he was gone, then he comes back, but then they still didn't really win anything, like a tremendous note. LeSean McCoy. The Eagles never won a playoff game with LeSean McCoy. Won a playoff game. LeSean in at the start of the Eagles chapter when they won the Super Bowl in 2017. I kind of catch you up since the last story. The story before the Eagles 2017 is in 08 when they made the playoffs in all that crazy fashion, you know, when all that stuff had to happen in the last week, and it did. So then, like, at the start of 2017, I'm like, all right, here's what's happened since 08. You know, Andy got fired, you know, but LeSean's really good. Chip gets hired. You know, I say the snowball, but it's all quick. I do say, like, franchise all-time leading rusher, but there are some great players that I feel get shortchanged because there wasn't, like, Dick Allen.
Sure.
There was no team accomplishment, you know? So it's a shame. But I made sure I jammed as much as I could in. But I'll be interested if anyone figures out who's the best player not in the book.
Oh, that's interesting. Like, who didn't even get a LeSean thing you're talking about? Who's the best player to not have their name? That's fascinating.
Mean just their name in the book?
Yeah.
Mentioned.
Like, I didn't have Tome in until I realized, well, I got to at least say him somehow.
Just to say his name.
Yeah, no, you did.
Right. I got him in there at the start of the 07 chapter.
Did you say L.J. Smith in the book?
Yes.
Really?
Wow. Yes. When I listed the 04 Eagles, I said this was a loaded team, and I listed both tight ends. I thought they were both worthy of being listed with the preseason hype of here's the squad.
Except for the drop.
Other than that.
John, you're in the book.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're
that's exciting.
Yeah, you're in the book. So, but I don't know who the best player that's not mentioned. I mean, I just don't know. But anyway, I look forward to people's...
Should we just start throwing out random names? Kenny Lofton!
Definitely not in the book.
I know.
He was here for 1 year. Give me a more reasonable name. Because Lofton was only here for 1 year.
No, he was. I was joking with Lofton.
Yeah.
So you actually thought
I'm assuming
this.
Like Bobby Abreu. John, Bobby Abreu is in the book? Because that's a weird one, too.
Yeah, they didn't win anything.
Exactly.
So when I put the Tome thing, I put Abreu, Tome, and Roland. They're in like a sentence.
Okay.
Like basically, since the last thing in 93.
That's really an honor that I got in this sentence if those guys, you were deliberating.
Yeah.
Sure. Dude, I think I lucked. I think you gave me some preferential treatment.
You were part of that squad, 04.
Whatever.
Thank
you. You gave me the preferential treatment, whether you admit it or not. Thank you.
But, James, that was a good example. Those guys, somehow, but I don't know. I don't know who
I'm racking my brain trying to
think. I have one.
Yeah, who you got?
Scott Rolen.
He just said Rolen.
That's
in that logo, but that's the right idea.
Yeah, so I have Rolen, Abreu, and Tome.
Percy Hawkins.
Yes.
He's in it?
Because I say in the Barkley chapter, Barkley's one of the few athletes that gets his own chapter.
Which he should.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he had to, right? He's an all-time player, but there was no real winning.
All-time personalities, both, you know?
Well, that too. Yeah. And so the Barkley thing, I say, you know, the highlight obviously was the 90 team. And so I say Barkley played a thump and bump with Rick Mahorn, Johnny Dawkins, Hersey Hawkins, okay. and Mike Chiminski. So right. those kind of, like, yeah, some yeah. guys are just one sentences.
Well, what chapter is the Charles Shackelford chapter? Just right, curious.
Exactly. That's I'll tell you what that is. He's not by name. That's the start of the AI, the Sixers get the number one pick chapter. That's when I'm like, yeah, they kept losing and losing and losing. Mm-hmm. And then like, voila,
yeah.
they win the draft lottery. And here comes Allen Iverson. But yes, Charles Shackelford, not mentioned by name. To the phones. Allen in Belmar. Allen, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello, Allen.
What's up, buddy?
I have an ironic story as far as July 21st yesterday with the Phillies, with the catcher's interference.
What's that?
This is going to be tough to believe, but 80 years before that, on July 21st, 1945, my father took myself at the age 7
wow.
and my late brother at almost 6 to our first Major League Baseball game. It was a Saturday afternoon game. It started at 3 o'clock at Scheib Park between the A's and Detroit. And it wound up almost 5 hours later being called for darkness. So it still is to this day the longest tie game, 24 innings,
wow.
1-1 tie.
That's incredible, Allen. That's really
that's wild.
And you were
80
at it.
Years, 80 years to the day yesterday's first baseball
that
game.
That is amazing.
Wild,
wow.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I'll remember the 21st. I remember it anyhow, but I'll also remember it now because of the catcher's interference
sure.
the same day. So.
That's a great. Yeah, well, you've seen a lot of baseball, Allen.
Oh, yeah. And it was a funny rule they had then because most people say, well, why didn't they turn the lights on? There was a league rule at that time that if you did not start a game with the lights on, they could not be turned on later.
Well, interesting. And, of course, lights had just started before that because weren't lights in the late 30s in baseball?
I believe so, yeah. But that was a league rule at that time.
Interesting. Right? Wow. Good facts.
Just something that's
absolutely.
Like,
all right, so,
Ellie,
give me something weird and unique from sports. You can win the tickets to the Eagles training camp.
Well, like I said, I thought that was very
I'll
weird.
I'll go with that one.
Yeah, 24-inning tie game is weird and unique.
Allen, I love it. Good call, man. Very good call. Let's talk to Jordan in Princeton. Jordan, good morning.
Good morning, morning show. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hope we're all doing well today.
Doing great, Jordan.
Yeah, we're good, man. Other than my injury situation, because I don't even know quite what to call it, but otherwise doing well.
Don't they call that core muscle?
But I don't know if the hip counts as that if it is the hip.
Sure. If it's the psoas, isn't
that
considered
would be
core muscle?
Yeah, but the hip is something different. I don't know. That's why I'm saying, like, it's psoas, hip. It's somewhere in there. Anyway. Go ahead, Jordan.
How nice is it, though, to pick up a tennis racket after you haven't played in 40-some years and still have a feel for the game? I did the same a couple of summers ago. I played all through high school, didn't play for 15 years. You still have the muscle memory. So, you know, after hearing your coach yesterday, Joe, I think the city of Philadelphia has some momentum. It's not changing John's mind. I hear John's in the background. John's mind has not changed. He's still voting for Jack, but I'm very interested to see this tennis match, and I wish you good luck.
Thanks, man. I'm excited, and I mean, obviously, I have to win it, and if I win it, then we're probably headed to a game 5.
Excellent. Before I get to the Phillies, John Ritchie, most interesting man in Philadelphia sports radio, obviously, that French toast you made the other day, a little dry, John. You got to soak
it actually
that French
was
toast
dry.
A little more than that.
You got
to
what?
Yeah, it's just you could tell you got to soak it in more of that egg wash. Add a little heavy cream, a little cinnamon, a little egg. Get that really wet, and it gets a nice crust on it.
You know
and
what?
If you want to really challenge yourself,
I do need I need it to penetrate, and so it's tenderer inside. And I think I needed thicker bread too, so that there was more like penetrated inside part. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what I was – the bread you are – you can't use wheat bread for something like
yeah.
this. French toast is not a time to be healthy.
Yeah.
Get yourself some brioche. Get yourself a nice country white loaf. Works
oh,
well.
Oh, man.
And it's
some
actually
challah.
Very, very easy. It's very – challah is – I mean, all of these are actually – very easy to make. The last year, I've gotten much more into baking. I'm making breads and hamburger buns and pastas. And this journey, I'm low because I love people cooking. If you cook for
me
yourself,
too,
you know
I'm getting
eating,
really into
healthier.
It also, Jordan. So I appreciate this advice.
Jordan, I could use the help with the cooking. So it's not you teaching me to cook. It's just you cooking for me.
You got
no, that's lazy. No, that's lazy.
All right, Jordan, what do you got on
Thank
the Phillies?
You.
I love baseball. It's by far my favorite sport. I really want to see the Phillies win a World Series. You know, it's been 17 years. It's a long time. It's not forever, but it's a long time. The thing that really hooked me on Phillies as a kid was Mickey Morandini's unassisted triple play. I remember watching that as a kid and having my mind so blown by the happenstance of something like that. Just the circumstances around it.
You know, I'm almost surprised it doesn't happen more. It's the middle infielder catching the ball and then doing the quick tag and the quick step on second. I'm a little surprised it doesn't happen more.
Well, the quick tag is harder because the guy on second, you can't tag. You have to step on second. You have to quick tag the guy coming from first, which is tougher. Usually you end up throwing to first to get, you know, I mean, most times the guy has to keep running. It's a rare situation that it plays out that way.
Well, what about if it's hit to the shortstop near the second base bag? So the guy on second has to come back to you. You get that guy quick, and then you just throw to first.
Oh, but no, that's not an assist. You have to chase the guy down. That's my point. So the guy from first has to keep running enough that you can get to him in time after you tag second base to get the guy. So it is tougher.
Yeah, way tougher. Yeah.
And that's why, you know, they say baseball, too, is a game of inches, and an unassisted triple is truly inches. You know, you could miss that tag by an inch, and you don't make the play. So, you know, my mind was blown as a 10-year-old. Just as it was last night when Sosa points to the mitt right away and he knew. And we're all just waiting for the call, knowing that we're going to see something happen in baseball that essentially doesn't happen. I know the 71, but there was no ghost runner. It was a different circumstance. This is the first time this has ever happened in baseball. This is a game that's well over a century old. And that's why I just keep coming back, as disappointing as this team has been. And the fact that we're now 500 in the last 42 games or so really echoes to last season and the fall off after the London trip. But I still keep coming back for baseball because of things like how we won last night and because of Morandini's unassisted
triple. Well, that's pretty cool.
He was also kind enough.
What am I writing down here, Jordan? Jordan, unique thing from sports, what am I writing down for you?
Father's Day 22, Sixers game 7. My kids were sick. I decided to take myself to the game. They're losing in the final seconds. Wells Fargo Center is silent. From the upper deck, somebody chucks a 24-ounce can of Bud Light that's full right onto the center of the court. It hits with a thud. It sounded like a nuclear weapon going off.
Okay, a very weird
moment. They announce, don't throw anything onto the court as the season is fading away in the final seconds.
No.
But, man, what a weird moment
that
was.
All right, you got it.
Thunk.
Craziest thing you've ever seen at a game. What is it, John?
Jeez.
I mean, you more played
I've seen
in games.
Some nasty injuries.
I'm sure.
Like some of the stuff, like compound fractures.
Well, I didn't mean on the field. I meant fan. Well, sure.
So like the firing off the cannons when Marco Bellinelli hit that shot that wasn't
But you weren't at that game.
I was at that game.
Oh, you were
at
that game.
Yeah, I was at that game, and I turned to my buddy as it went off, and I was like, I'm not sure that was a three.
Yep.
Like I turned to my buddy immediately. It's like, I don't know that he wasn't on the line for that. So that's up there.
I mean, someone listening, many people listening were at the game when the flare gun went. You were at that game, Ray?
Yes.
I mean, that was really bad.
Just to
and
say.
And it landed on an empty chair.
It didn't seem that unusual to me. But I was, you know, those were things that were normal.
Ray, I am convinced when the Eagles moved to the Link that they call the upper section the upper bowl. Because no one will say it with a source of pride the way we would say the 700 and lead to borderline criminal activity.
Oh, yeah, I went there one
time. Because the 700 level, it had a...
Yeah. There was,
no one, where do you say, I sit in the upper bowl? No one's going to say that with a sense of
Joe,
pride.
I paid for my very first ticket by myself. You know, the first Eagles game I ever went to, brought me and a friend. I was in college, and it was the game we were playing the 49ers.
Yep.
And Joe Montana threw 4 touchdowns, I believe, in the fourth quarter.
I remember it well. That was, I'll tell you exactly when that was. That was in 1989.
Yep.
And that was, I believe, week 3.
It was.
Or 4. And Izell Jenkins had taunted Jerry Rice earlier in the game.
Oh, that's an awesome idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Toast. Way to go, buddy.
Why his nickname was Toast, Rice? John?
And Montana had four touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. Yeah, that was, I think, week three of 89.
Challenge Jerry Rice. Hey, you're not good.
It went from up here to, I'm not sure we're getting out of here alive.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it.
So young and I was scared.
Unbelievable. Let's go to John right now in Philadelphia. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great, John.
That's awesome. Joe, sorry about your injury, but as a trooper and as the professional you are, I commend you for continuing with the competition.
Thank you, man. I have an obligation. Here's the thing, John. Joe DiMaggio, I believe, first said it, but Joe DiCamera.
There could be some kid coming.
Follows the same. There could be a kid out there that never saw me play. And so
and
I
never wants to.
So I have a responsibility, John, to
show up every day.
You're also claiming injury.
No, it's injury. I could show you the MRI. The problem is I'd be showing you more than is appropriate, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, I could put the MRI on Twitter, but then I would make the other men in the Delaware Valley jealous.
Oh, good. Yes.
So I can't post.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
Because, I mean, we're going, like, off the page now. You know. Anyway, John,
well,
go ahead.
Thanks for saying the same as well.
It's funny. I did think about putting that up on Twitter, but I'm like, oh, you know, let's leave Nick Foles in first place for now. All right, go ahead, John.
Oh, here we go. I have a concern down the stretch, and it's a similar concern of yours. Like, I'm excited for the Phillies and the Robertson signing. I think it's definitely going to help. I'm also excited at the fact that Middleton said that maybe Abel and Painter will be available to help in the bullpen.
Yeah. You know, significant that he said it. Very significant that he said that.
Absolutely. It makes a huge difference when the owner says it. So with that being said, like, you know, my concern is the same as yours, Joe. Bryson Stott at second base and, you know, obviously a center fielder. So at this point, Joe, just in your opinion, if we don't make any moves to shore up our center field or change it, you know, who do you go with down the stretch at second base and the center fielder?
Well, good questions. I think it's going to be determined based on who's hotter between Stott and Sosa. I think it has gotten to the point where it feels platoonish. Now, obviously, with Stott being a left-handed hitter, he's just going to probably play more often because you face more right-handed pitchers. But I've been reluctant to have Sosa there frequently, but I'm changing course on that because Stott, to me, is proving that it has to be that way for now. As far as the outfield goes, I think it's just going to be what it's been. It's just going to be three guys for two spots with Kepler playing the most and Marsh playing the second most and Rojas playing the third most. And I think it's just what it is. But I don't think that'll happen. I don't, John. I do think they will get someone out there that joins the fray. And I'll be surprised if it's still just those three guys for two spots.
No, I understand. And just one quick Eagles point.
And by the way, Kemp could get out. I should point out, because we're back to Kemp in the infield with the third base thing with Boehm. But Kemp could get out there. Schwarber could. The thing about Schwarber getting out there is then someone else would be the DH, and they don't really have a classic. Like, if you had Greg Dobbs or Matt Stairs or Ricky Jordan, like, you could say, okay, I can go to this bench guy to be, like, you'd have a good DH. You don't have a good DH.
I don't think you can mess with what Kyle Schwarber's doing right now. I mean, this season he's putting together, I feel like
but John,
sending him to the outfield, you know the return you'll get move.
But John, I'm going to give you a scenario.
He's not a good defender.
Here's a scenario.
If it takes away from his ability to be an MVP candidate.
Here we go.
DHing.
It's game four of the NLDS. You're in a 2-1 hole, and Kepler is 1-for-14 in the series.
Mm-hmm.
I you know what I mean? Like,
I have more confidence in Kepler than that.
Why?
I know that.
Because someone's going to be 1-for-14.
Kepler stinks. I have zero confidence. I think Kepler stinks.
I think they all kind of stink.
Yeah, they all do. But yeah. Kepler, I have zero confidence in Kepler. He doesn't even look like he's trying. Honestly, I think he wants to be out of here, Kepler. I like that. The whole thing happened. He has looked like lackadaisical since the stuff happened. Like, I couldn't be more out of
Kepler. All right, John, I need an answer from you. Give me something unique from sports.
I'm going to say the double doink against Chicago.
Yeah, it was. It's not totally unusual. I mean, no, it's unusual. It's happened, but
in that spot on a last second playoff kick and all that. It's rare.
I think it's gone side to side posts before, right? But that's got to be harder. I mean, because it's further away. Like that was side post, bottom post.
Joe, I was so upset. I turned away and I literally was turning in the other direction. And my brother goes, he missed it. I go, that's not even funny. And he goes, no, I'm serious. He missed it. I mean, I was so upset. I literally turned my head.
Yeah. Well, you know what's another thing? Was happening. You remember when the Bears mascot fell over?
Oh, it was hilarious. Yeah. Not for Bears fans.
I heard that mascot guy got in trouble.
Yeah, he really? Did. No, he did. It was a story. There was a story about it.
The Bears were not, because it was such
a... jokey.
It was too, like...
He was, joking around. Ha, ha, ha. It's, not cool.
I don't know about joking. It was just, he was so devastated that was the way he chose to fall, but they didn't want their mascot falling over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say jokey. Like, he took it real. I mean, maybe it's jokey, but
it felt jokey to me. They didn't fire him, right? I don't know.
I heard
it was effective. Like, as far as mascots go, he falls flat on his face.
You're right, John.
Really,
that's his job.
Funny visual.
It was funny. I don't know if they wanted funny in that moment. That's my
point.
It wasn't
funny for them.
Yeah.
All right, James, what do you got in there?
I have a comment on Twitter from one Spike Eskin. Spike has tweeted, I've received word about Joe DeCameras, and this next word is in quotes.
Oh, I told you guys he wasn't
going to
believe
me. I have received word about a Joe DeCamera quote-unquote injury he revealed on today's show. We will have comment on our show this afternoon.
Well, that's going to be ugly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't surprise me. All right. Well,
you called it. You said this is exactly what was going
to
happen.
We'll be all ears to find out what they have to say, and round the world goes.